Curriculum Associates presents the Extraordinary Educators Podcast with hosts Danielle Sullivan and Sari Liberis. Hear tips, best practices, and successes to improve your teaching and leadership and drive student growth and learning. We're here for you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Extraordinary Educator Podcast. I'm Danielle.
And I'm Sari. This week, we are joined by Extraordinary Educator Rebecca, who is a grade 7 math teacher in Maryland.
And it's so wonderful, y'all. This episode is like a masterclass in algebra readiness and what to do with middle school students and how to really break down the concepts in an easy to understand way for middle school kids. I really enjoyed listening to Rebecca, and both Sari and I agree. We both wish she was our seventh grade math teacher.
Yes. So without further ado, here is our conversation with Rebecca. Welcome, Rebecca. It's so great to see you. Thanks so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So Rebecca, we'd love to talk to you about algebra readiness. Like, I know you teach seventh grade math. So what's all the buzz with getting students prepared to take algebra? Tell us what it is, why it's important, all the things.
Okay, well, first of all, some of our eighth graders take algebra, and I'm sure that's the same in lots of school districts. Some of them don't take algebra till they get to high school, but we try to get one cohort of students a little bit ahead of the game so that they can have a few more semesters to take other higher level math classes at the high school. So in my experience, the most important readiness factor for algebra is simply a strong number sense, a strong ability to look at a problem and determine what it is that the question is asking. Before you can move into algebra, where letters replace numbers, you're going to have to know how the numbers work. So things like rational number operations, you have to be proficient. Fractions, decimals, powers, square roots, cube roots, those kinds of things. You have to understand how they work. Expressions and equations, you have to be able to go from a numeric expression to an algebraic expression and to understand what the purpose of those variables are. I like to teach kids that math is about patterns, and equations are solved systematically. And if you look for patterns, you can go quickly from a numeric equation to an algebraic equation. If you use inverse operations, you can see how you can undo multiplication with division and vice versa. And so kids who have that down pat seem to transition into algebra quite easily.
I mean, yeah, that's a lot. You laid a lot of mathematical terms down for us. So in thinking of other middle school educators that are listening to prepare their students to get ready to take algebra, what are some of your favorite strategies? Besides, you shared a lot of the content, like the mathematical concepts, but how do we get students to recognize patterns? How do you get students motivated and excited to lay some of those foundations?
Well, I try to teach students that hard problems can be solved by easy problems. So when you come up with a problem that's got some variables in it, or it looks kind of scary because it's got maybe an expression within a division problem, et cetera. If you just take a real simple problem like 6/2 = 3, you can use that simple, simple problem to find the pattern, to find how it works. If I cover up 6, how am I going to find that using the other two numbers? If I cover up 3, how am I going to find that using the other two numbers? And if you can apply that system or that pattern to the more difficult problem, then you can certainly solve it. When you're doing things like proportional relationships, that's just one after another. They work the exact same way. So you can look at using cross products to solve a proportion. It works for every proportion, easy ones, hard ones, decimal ones, fraction ones. Just apply the pattern or use the system. Any kind of formula is a pattern. It's okay, what do I do here? Well, I look at it. I substitute values for my variables. I put in what I know and I solve for what I don't. And those things are just repetitive. And no matter how big the formula is or how scary the length of the problem is or whatever, it's all solved by the same exact process. And students, you know, students can do it if they just understand the basics. If you think of an equation like a balance, and the equal sign is the fulcrum in the balance, you can add to or take away and keep that balance, whether it's in a simple form or whether it's in a really complex form, which helps with algebra because you're solving for different variables. You're, you know, changing the equation around to make it solve for a different variable. And as long as you understand how that equation works, you just repeat the pattern.
Absolutely. And thank you so much for breaking it down for us. I wish I had you as a teacher when I was in middle school, because I think just the calm mindset you have and the way that you've even the analogy of the weight. If someone had told me that when I was learning this stuff, I would have done a lot better. So I'm sure our listeners appreciate that too. We do have a lot of elementary teachers, you know, that listen to the podcast. So I'm curious, in your perfect world, is there anything that teachers who teach younger students math that they could be doing to better help prepare these same students for when they get to middle school and high school?
Well, one really important thing is to teach them about the properties of operations, teach them about commutative property, teach them about associative property, teach them the identity property and the properties of equality in the very basic form. If students can learn that as elementary students, they can come then to middle school. And if a variable pops up somewhere, x plus 2 equals 2 plus x, they know how that works. They know that's the commutative property. Another thing I like to do with my students is try to give them ways to remember the properties. Like, we talk about the commutative property. What's it mean to commute? It means to move, to go from one place to another. So in the commutative property, the numbers are moving and changing places and still getting the same sum or the same product. When you get into negative numbers as an older student, you can apply all those simple elementary mathematical properties to the more difficult problems when you get to middle school.
I concur with Sari that I wish you were my math teacher, because you are just explaining things in ways that are just even an equation, right? You got to balance it. Like, that thing really just resonated with me too. So what kind of advice do you have to other middle school educators that are struggling right now? Because I'm sure when you tell your friends that you are a middle school math educator, what do your friends tell you? Or they anybody groan. Actually.
They groan.
Right.
Like, oh, I can't even believe it. I could never do it. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. For some reason, that's the known response. So it's really like, it's amazing that I'm a big fan of middle school math educators. I myself was a middle school math educator. So what advice now, as you're thinking about algebra readiness, can you leave our listeners with in thinking about just supporting other educators?
Well, I think the secret to success, so to speak, is to get buy-in, to make kids understand that we don't have math people and non-math people. We don't have I can do it and I can't do it. We have only people who are willing to apply themselves or not. And I try to encourage my students, don't say can't. We don't say can't in my classroom. We say, you know, we haven't done it yet. We're going to try it again. Let's look at this. we go to the math practices and we say, we're going to persevere. We're going to persevere. It's not easy. Coming in my classroom, I have a sign that says, caution, there's productive struggle in progress. And the kids will say, I'll say, what are we doing today? What's going on with this when it's hard? They'll say, oh, this is productive struggle. Yes, it is productive struggle. And it's not meant to frustrate or cause tears. It's just meant to get the very, very most that you can out of your students.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for all of that, for your insights, for your tips, and just your mindset. You have this very calming presence, and I'm sure that your colleagues and students really appreciate that as well. So it was great chatting with you today, and we really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Get inspired by following us on social media, and please tag us in your posts on Twitter at CurriculumAssoci and on Instagram at MyEyeReady. If you have feedback about the podcast, a topic of interest, or want to be a guest, email extraordinaryeducators@caInc.com. Subscribe where you listen to podcasts. And if you'd like to help more educators like you join the conversation, please leave a review.
And remember, be you, be true, be extraordinary. The Extraordinary Educators Podcast is produced by Curriculum Associates. Social media by Atsney Hannon. Guest booking by Sari Liberis. Production by Haley Browning. This podcast is copyright material and intellectual property of Curriculum Associates.